chapter 1. I want to continue from last week. I didn't really get where I was hoping to get, but we're dealing with a subject. Amazingly, this topic, this subject of purification or sanctification or things of that nature, this used to be one of the biggest focuses in the church years ago. As a matter of fact, we used to have, every Sunday night, there was testimony nights, and people would stand up and testify. And virtually everyone would start the same. They would stand up and say, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for it." And then they'd go into whatever it was. But it seems to be an area of the word we stopped. I don't know if we've stopped focusing on it. I know we've stopped talking about it. But I also know it's an extremely important area that we need to be fixed and focused on, particularly now. There is a lot, church. I can't even, it would take weeks to tell you what all is going on in the spiritual sense around, just around breakthrough, not even going through the old church. There is a lot going on. And all I can tell you is, we need a serious return to the Word of God individually. For instance, I want you to just do this, work it out later on. Later on, I want you to work out what is your, every once in a while, I don't have my phone with me, but every once in a while I get a message on my phone that tells me about my usage time, my screen time. To say your screen time is up 24%. Of last week or last month or ever it does, and things of that nature. I don't understand it because I don't use it for nothing but phones. And one time I got this, your screen time was 95% more. And so I lowered my wife. I said, "How can that be? I don't even do something on this phone." I found out I was in a group. And so, it's a bunch of people. And I found out that the group loves me being in it because they know I'm not using none of the Facebook stuff. I don't do nothing on my phone if I can do it on the computer. I just don't. But I thought about it in light of this. What would you receive from God if he said, your word time this week is up or down, 24%? What would you get? Would God tell you your time in the word on a weekly, daily basis is up versus last week, versus last month? Now, how much time are we spending in the Word? Are we spending any beyond Sunday services? I know some are, and I know it's a growing thing. I've been getting some exciting texts, and for me to say that is a miracle in itself. But I'm receiving texts of people that are saying, "Pastor, can you tell me how to find out the meaning of this word?" They're not asking me to do it for them. They're asking me to tell them where to go to find out. That's exciting. Yesterday, I got a text from somebody and said, "Pastor, can you suggest to me a good Bible to get? A good study Bible." So I sent them back a text and gave them two study Bibles I would recommend for them. And then after I thought about it, I sent back and said, "In all honesty, you ought to get this one for yourself." That excites me. That tells me people are starting to get into the Word. And we need to get into the Word. Now, God has been saying something here at Breakthrough. And it's been going on 7 weeks now. I don't know how long it's going to last. But he has had my mind focused on getting your mind focused in the Word. Getting you to study the Word yourself, in and out, day in and day out. I'm sorry, I've been having some serious problems with my throat. I'll make it last as long as I can. But, and all of this focus on the Word, which we're going to be seeing throughout the future, really came from one verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 22, where Solomon said, "My son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my sayings." Those two things. And what they mean is this: to attend to God's Word means to look at it as it's written, as it's recorded. Just read it. We probably much all do that. But that's not all we need to do. Then he said, incline your ear. There's the difference. Because here's how it works. To attend to God's word is to just read it in the outer essence, the way it's written. We do that. But to incline to God's word is to get into it. Find out, you know, get in and see and look at what you're studying and say, okay, what does this mean? What is the reason for this here? Why did Peter even write what he wrote? What was the reason for it? What was going on, if anything, that he chose these topics? Because he's got some serious topics in there. Well, if you look at the very beginning of the book, you find that he's writing it to those that have been scattered. He calls them strangers, really, born-again believers that have been scattered. They've been scattered because, if proper date is 60 A.D., 3 years before this, they burnt the temple in 57 A.D. They burnt the temple. There was still a lot of people trying to end Christianity altogether. And they were killing anyone they could find who claimed Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, here's Peter's crowd. He's got this running to earth. And he's got to get a word to them. And so he starts out encouraging them in faith and starts out encouraging them to keep their minds solid and fixed and focused on their purpose, on their mission, on what God is doing. He's trying to get them to remain focused on that. That's what I'm trying to do with you with the word, to get you back in the word, that you will remain focused on what the word says. How great would it be next month if God sent you a text and said, your Bible study time is up 100% since last month. No charge extra for this. See, God wouldn't charge you if you go over. I guess if they go over on that other stuff, they get paid. They have to pay for it. But God doesn't charge us if we go over. But how much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend in both just reading the Word and then really studying the Word? Find out what it's saying. So that's what you need to do with the Word. And that's what we're doing right here with this one thought. Now, I'm not going to read the whole of it. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, notice what Peter says. Seeing that you have purified your souls. Now, what did he just say they did? Okay, keep that in mind. Purify your souls. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brothers. Every one of these little comments that I'm pausing at says something, tells us something. If we take time to get in and look. Then he went and he said, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now I'm just going to stop there because I won't get past that again this week. And I know that. But when I first began years ago, what had happened was when I was in the penitentiary, you know, like every night we had a Bible study. Somebody came in from the streets to teach us something. And we had some really good, high-strung preachers that came in. And we, you know, we liked the excitement and stuff. But there was one guy that came one night, and he taught us the book of Galatians. And, I mean, he was as dry as dirt. And the way he talked, and the way he said things, and the way he did things, it was like, man, just let me go back to my cell. I'll go to bed. But all of a sudden, he came back a couple of times, and we kept going to him. But what he was doing started to hit me differently than what everybody else had done. Because I realized what he's doing is telling us how we can understand the Bible ourselves. And that's what I want to do with you. You can understand this word yourself. You can figure out what God's plan is, what God's saying. But you've got to invest your time and energy in the word to get that done. Now, notice what Peter here talks about. And, well, because of that guy, back in when I was in prison, because of that guy, when I got out of prison and I actually got into the word, I had developed a what I call my first Bible study plan. My first method in studying the Bible was simply this. It was threefold. There was three things I would do. Number one, I would look at the word that I was reading and I'd ask myself, what does the Bible say? Like right there, I would have read verse 22, stopped and looked at it and said, now what does this say? And I would write down everything on the outside that I thought it was saying. Then my second question was, what does this mean? I would write down what I thought it meant. And I'll tell you, when I started, if you could get some of the notes I had back then and compare it to today, you would laugh at them and say, man, that's kind of weak. Yes, it was, but I had just got out of prison. I just got into church. I was probably the only member in our church other than the pastor that was doing this. But then I had a third question. I would look at it and say, how can I apply what he's saying to my life? Because, church, if we can't apply it, it's of no value to us. I told the church, I don't know if it was Wednesday or last week, you know, back in the 1600s, King James allowed the scripture to be written in King James language, in the language of the king. There was one reason he did that, and that was to give the common man the ability for themselves to be able to understand what the Bible said, because prior to that, it was all in Latin, and only the priest could read it. The common man didn't know those languages. And so the king said, let's write it in our language. Now, since then, we've had a lot of English translations and versions come out. And that's good, because understanding the king's language is not too easy. It's easier now for me than it used to be, but it's not too easy. But one thing we have to do with the English translations coming out, we've got to be careful with them. In this, if your English translation, I'm not naming any of them, if your English translation is making too light of the wording, if they're making it too simple, watch out. That translation or version may be off base. If they're making it too easy, if they're not putting the right zeal behind what's being said, like purified. You know, that word can be translated a lot of ways in the English language. And some of which we could really lose the whole meaning of what Peter's talking about. When he said you would purify yourself, he says you sanctify yourselves. Now, we went through last week, and we're not going to go through it again, but sanctification is a twofold process in Christianity. One, we are sanctified when we're born again. That happens to anybody who accepts Christ. But after that, sanctification is an ongoing process. We grow in it every day, every week, every month, every year. We should be growing in our closeness to God, not getting further away. We should be growing in our walk with God, not still stumbling over, you know, pebbles and small stones in our way. We should be advancing. Depending on how long we've been in this, we should be advancing. But I tell you, we will never advance if all we do is put in us what comes to us from pulpits. Nothing wrong with what comes from the pulpits in some cases, but that's still not enough. You know, if we still did the old thing that every Sunday the pastor had to go someplace to eat, somebody's house to eat, you know, the way this affected that. You know, you wouldn't have the pastor and his wife and family come to your house and eat Sunday and then tell your family, well, we don't eat no more this week until next week because the pastor's not here. No, you're going to eat every day. Well, it's the same with the word. You should be putting the word in you every day, not just what the pastor or the teacher or the evangelist gave. Every day, I need to put this in. And so all I'm doing this morning, and I'm going to finish this up, is using that first method of study that I had to break down what Peter says here. So we're going to look at three things real fast. What does this tell us? What does this mean? How can I apply this to my life? And again, if we can't apply it, there's no sense studying it. Because the application is everything. But watch what happens. Watch what happens until we start seeing what Peter says here in verse 22. Because of the past tense, because of the past tense use of the verb that he has here, and due to the entire context, we realize that Peter is speaking of our salvation. But he's speaking of our salvation in connection with our sanctification. It's both of them in the same thing. As he states, he says, you know, earlier in this, he says, you are purified, or you have been purified. But in verse 22, he says, you are purifying yourselves, or you have purified yourselves. This is something you're working on. This is something you're doing. And again, we can accomplish it, but we're never finished it. So he's talking about this relationship and how we get there. And I think that's probably one of the most difficult things to figure out. You know, what does this mean? How do we get to this place? Let me ask you. How do we sanctify ourselves? Anybody? Okay. Now, how many of you, particularly those of us from the older days, believe that sanctification is a serious part of our life with Christ? If we believe that sanctification is a serious part of our life with Christ, doesn't it stand to reason we would want to know what it is? Because how do we know we're doing it if we don't know what it is? And I'm not attacking nobody. I'm just saying, this is how we've lived the whole time. We know what's important, but we don't know how to get to it. But we know we should have it. But we have no idea how we reach it. If it's important, we should be hungering for it. We should be striving for it. We should be looking for it. And I understand, I've heard all the arguments of the past as to why we can't. But I tell you, with every argument of why you can't do it, I'm going to give you an argument on why you can do it. Because you are intelligent human beings. You have the ability to understand what God wants us to know about his word. And he really shows it to us here in a simple form. And that is this. What this passage does, it informs us that we are active participants in our purification or sanctification. We are actively involved in that. It doesn't just happen. I mean, let me clarify that. It does just happen, but it doesn't only happen and that's it. It happens, then we've got to grow in it. But we are acting, and Peter's whole thing is in this. He's telling us we have an active part to play, just as we have an active part in salvation. I know, or I believe, that everybody I'm looking at, as far as present, is born again, to my knowledge. How many of you remember the day you were born again? How many of you remember how you got born again? I'll tell you. Well, I'll save us time. It wasn't something that just happened. I mean, you wasn't sitting someplace, riding the bus, going to work, walking down the street, shopping in the store, sitting in prison, sitting in a church or wherever, and all of a sudden, boom, you were born again. That didn't happen. Something took place. You heard something. Might have been in a song. Might have been in a message. You might have been in a hotel reading Gideon's Bible. You might have been sitting someplace and all of a sudden a thought came from the past where somebody shared something about the Word of God with you and all of a sudden that thought came back to you. But something sparked in you and you acted on it. You responded to it. Didn't matter how much you didn't know. I didn't even know. The night I was born again, I didn't even know that I was supposed to start everything out by saying, Father, in Jesus' name, I come unto you. Here, nothing but a wretched sinner, deserving of nothing but punishment for the rest of my entire life, with all my long hair. I didn't know to do none of that. I sat on my bed. I looked up through my cell window. I said, God, if this stuff's true, I didn't even believe it when I was asking for it. I said, give me a heart like, well, my wife now, like my wife's. Make me care about people the way she cares about me. I'll believe it's true if you can do that. And then I did have enough knowledge to say amen. I don't know where I learned that from, but I knew you said it. But then after I said amen, I stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. Pause. God, one more thing. And so I asked him to do something else. And he did it. Right then, that night. By morning, I knew he had done what I asked him to do that night. I can remember every minute about that night. All night long, I remember every bit of it. Just like you do. I remember being born again. But I also remember, if I hadn't responded to her words that she gave me, it would have never happened at that time. If you didn't respond when you did to whatever you heard that caused you to respond, you wouldn't have been born again at that moment. Because you have a part to play in getting saved. And just as such, we have a part to play. We are to be involved in our sanctification, our purification. It's not just we get saved, we're sanctified. Now we live without any problems. Well, all of us in here know that that's a forest. But we're saved. There's nothing more I can do about that. That's done. But there's still some things I can do to stay engaged. And one of them is that constant, continual practice purifying myself. Now, just very quick, why would anybody need to constantly be purifying themselves? Or regularly. Not constantly like every day, but, you know, you find yourself needing to this more often than you like to. Why would that be? Because we still have natural tendencies. We live in a natural world. And we fight this old, regenerated, non-submissive nature 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We deal with this guy. Because this guy is here as long as I'm breathing. And I've got to deal with him. And you know what? He doesn't want to be dealt with. He wants to be left alone. Left to himself. My wife asked me a question last night. She never has told me how she meant to ask it, but I answered the way she asked it. And she said, "Do you miss that?" And I said, "Do I miss what?" And I was watching something about a prison thing, one of these prison shows. And she said, "That." And I said, "Do you mean going to prison? Do I miss it?" She said, "Was that whole thing?" I said, "Do you mean pumping drugs in my arm and armed robberies, everything I did?" She said, "Yeah, do you miss it?" I said, "No. Are you crazy?" She said, "You don't miss it?" I said, "Do you realize what you're saying? Do you think anybody would really miss being in that lifestyle and getting out of it? And then once they're out of it, want to go back to it? Do you really think it works that way?" And she said, "Well, I think I'm asking the question wrong." I said, "Well, I don't know, but your answer is going to be no, any of them. I don't miss my past. I'm not my past. I'm my present and future. And I enjoy now what I live, whereas, listen, I didn't enjoy one day of my life. I'm going to tell you this far without telling you everything about it. I didn't enjoy one day of my life that I can remember. From 1963 to 1978, I didn't enjoy nothing in life. Not one day. That's how exciting it is to live the way I lived. But I'll tell you this, I know what, if I'm not careful, I could be right back in it tomorrow. Why? Because he's still there. He's not active. Doesn't even talk to me, but I know it's still there. I could go downtown right now, buy some heroin, stick a needle in my arm if I wanted to. Don't want to. Why? You're afraid you're kidding? I'm not afraid of nothing it would do to me. I just don't want to do it. I found something better. Better way to live. But I do know that I'm aware of the fact that that old guy, he's still around. And so I have to purify myself constantly. And remember, purifying, sanctification, all saints, I got to be constantly separating myself from this guy and separating myself to that guy. From this to that. From the guy inside of here to the guy that came in from up there. That's the life I live. But it's not going to just happen because I sat in a prison cell and asked him to come in my heart. And it doesn't stay because one time I asked for it. Peter said, "You have purified yourselves. You did it. You do it." You say, "Pastor, I wouldn't know where to start." Let me ask this. How many of you have ever done any kind of work, physical labor, and you had soot or dirt on your hands when you were done? Planting plants, whatever. Everybody said that. Raise your hand, let me see. Well, why don't I see no dirt on your hand? Because you washed it away. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. My hands are clean because I wash them. But tomorrow they're going to get dirty again. So you know what? Tomorrow I'll wash them. Until I can get to an age that I don't have to do the stuff to make them get dirty. I don't know what that age is because I'm sitting here and I know Sister Mitchell's sitting here and she's telling me she does this. So I know I got a ways to go to get out of this place. But That's all purification is. Cleansing yourself, setting yourself apart. Now, I only have about 3 or 4 minutes, and I've gotten so far away, but I want to close this off in a way that you get it off. Okay, how do we do this? Notice what Peter said, in obeying the truth. Seeing that you have purified yourself in obeying the truth. How did you get saved? You obeyed the truth. Whatever truth you heard, whatever truth you responded on, you responded, you obeyed it. That's the same with purification. We do so by obeying the truth. I'm going to tell you this. It's really hard to obey the word of God if you don't know it. Real hard. It's hard enough to do it when you know it, but if you don't know it, it's real hard. So God invites us, come in, look at my word, study my word, attend more. He said to Psalm 119, the psalmist says, question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answered it by saying, by taking heed according to your word. The Jewish Bible, I don't know if I get this right, the Jewish Bible says that verse, how can a young man keep himself pure? And the answer in that translation is by holding to your word. That's how. We got here in obeying the truth. We stay here by obeying the truth. But it wasn't just that we obeyed the truth. But it is we obeyed the truth through the Spirit. And just like we can't save ourselves without the Word, we're not going to sanctify ourselves without the Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays a major part in all of this. And so, okay, thank you, Lord. 3 minutes and I can do this. But here's the question. What does it result in? What's the result of you and me and us, Breakthrough Worship Center, purifying itself? What's the results of it? Notice what he said. Unfeigned love to the brothers. Which simply means a love without hypocrisy. That's the result. We love without any of the fakeness and the phoniness. We love without any of the thoughts that mess us up on our feelings towards somebody else because of what they did or what we think they did or what we think they're doing, whatever. But then he adds a strong word, fervently. I mean, you know, it's a job just to get this done. Because fervently in the English, the Greek word used for fervency in the English translates as saying it takes a great expenditure of energy and effort to do this. It's not easy. It'd take everything we got and then some. And the whole time we're investigating it, the whole time we're looking at it, the whole time we're trying to do it, the powers of darkness are trying to stop us. But something that the Lord himself said years ago that still stands true today is that the gates of hell will not ever prevail against the church. They can't do it. And that's all you got to tell them. When they come trying to impregnate your mind with thoughts, devil, get out of here, you can't do it. I'm not giving you place. I'm not giving you entries. I'm not giving you a place to work. I'm not giving you a place to reside. I'm not giving you a place to vacation. I'm not listening. And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to realize who you're listening to once You start listening to the Word of God. You identify it. Amen? Rise up with me if you would, Bill Fair. I know I left a lot of stuff out of this, but I said the important things. What I'm not sure is if I said enough to make you want to get back into the Word daily. If nothing else, you'll think about it when you take your next shower. Father, I just ask, as you have been slowly adding your word into the spirits of our members, of our people, that you would continue to do so, that it will churn within them and take deep root in their spirit, deep root in their soul, that it becomes a constant thought, a continual thought. I know the desire is there, Lord. And I know that as we experience the next truth that we experience individually, it's going to create an excitement in us like we haven't had in years. And Lord, then we'll have no problem telling others, look what God has done. We'll have no problem expressing what our Lord has done in our lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will help us to be sensitive to your spirit at all times. And may we each work on looking for the improvement sign coming to tell us that we have increased our Bible study over last week, over last month, over last year. And then let that study turn into wisdom. And when that wisdom supply lives to be changed in Christ's name. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence, and bring us back to the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, stay in the Word.